It is a beautiful weekend, like Lena said. It's here celebrating a holiday weekend, and here we come to the Sunday morning celebration. Yes, we're celebrating this holiday weekend. Yes, we're celebrating this place called the Spiritual Living Center of Atlanta. But more importantly, we're celebrating each one of ourselves. We come to a place such as this because there's a recognition that something greater is going on in our lives other than that whole outside world. Something greater at the heart of our being keeps telling us we are here in the right place, hearing the right words, hearing the truth that has been spoken throughout the ages of the universe and being spoken right here in this place. It is a celebration, and it's a celebration of each one of us. But more importantly, the celebration doesn't stop there. The celebration continues through each one of us and the living of our lives. The immediacy of spirit is through each one of us coming forth in joy, in prosperity, health, abundance, creativity. An infinite number of ways is this celebration of life awaiting our recognition of it and awaiting to come through our minds into our lives. And so we step into this awareness this morning. We sit here and recognize that we are greater than any of the circumstances that are going on in our lives. We let all of those things fall away. That is not the truth of us, it's only a fact. Facts melt away when we offer up the truth of any situation, of anything that we're going through. And so we come to this place at this time to recognize this truth. The I am, the one power that Patrick sung of. Present, right now in our lives. It's not something that comes at a later time. It doesn't come after we take another class. It is something that's present this morning awaiting our recognition. We recognize it in celebration. We give great thanks for it. And we walk out of these doors an hour from now with this greater understanding of the truth of our being. This is the truth for each one of us here, and so it is. I could be known as the irreverent reverend. I love it when I'm up here speaking. I go outside the bounds of what it is that we have up here on the Sundays and everything like that. And when Paul asked me to speak on Labor Day weekend, you know, it would be pretty easy to pick a talk title and let's talk about Labor Day. You would think I would talk about Labor Day. How America set aside this day for us to remember how this great country was founded on labor, and we get a day to remember all of that. You would think that I would get up here and talk to you about the religious science interpretation of what it is that it means to be work or labor. You would think that I would get up here and explain to you that we need to view our work as power. Now, we normally don't think of work as our power. We think of it as something that drains our power, something that depletes us. That's why so many people at the end of the day drag themselves home exhausted instead of exhilarated, irritated instead of satisfied. Now, many years ago, a tabloid ran a two-page picture across the top, and it was a picture of just from about shoulder height up to their heads. And these people had frowns on their faces and discouragement and fear and terror. And there was a contest that said, by next Sunday, please send us your response of what this is a picture of. Who are these people and why are they here? And so they had all kinds of responses, but none of them got it right. Some of them were saying that it was like a refugee camp. Some of them said it looked like a mental hospital and all the patients were lined up to get on a bus to go on an excursion. So no one had exactly the answers. People of all sizes, all genders, all races were there. It was this frightening group of people. But the most, on the day the results were published, they did something different. They still did the two-page photo, but they did the whole body shot. And so you could actually see exactly what all the people were doing there. You know what they were? They were the citizens of New York City standing on the corner at Grand Central Station waiting for the light to turn on a Monday morning so they could cross the street and go to work. There was not one face of joyful anticipation of what was going on that day. Not one looked as if they were going forward to express power, because they weren't. They weren't going to express power. They were going to be stressed out. They were going to be worn down. They were going to go to be used up by their jobs. They knew it, and they looked like it. They did not know that work could be empowering. So they worked under too much pressure and not at all up to their potential. The pressure in our work is never in the job. It's in the consciousness of the worker. Paul did a great class on labor and work several years ago that I took, and he said, remember, the office you walk into is an empty shell. It was perfect all night long. And the minute you walk into your office or you turn on the lights to the store or the lights to your cubicle, you fill it with consciousness. It's an empty shell. So what is the consciousness that you're filling it with? Dread or power? Enthusiasm or dethusiasm? I just made up that word. Dethusiasm. That job does not exist until we show up. So how do you show up? And we let our work define us. I love it in this new meeting scene. Whenever you meet somebody, first off, they ask you your name. What do you think the second question is? What do you do? It defines us. We think these jobs define us. And it's just really funny. It doesn't matter what the answer is. We open up a file that we have running in our subconscious mind, because if I sit there and tell you that I'm an attorney, what file do you open up and just throw all over me as the definition of what an attorney is? What if I tell you I'm a manicurist at a salon? What file do you open up and throw all over me? Or if I tell you that I work for Miss Franklin's office downtown in the city of Atlanta, what kind of file do you open and just throw all over me? We define people by their jobs. On the other hand, we tend to think that our job defines us. It justifies us. It explains us. It makes something out of us more than who we really are, is what we think. But that's not the truth of us. It is only the fact of us. We are infinitely greater than even the greatest job you could have. I don't care whatever it is that you think is the greatest job you can have. We're something more than that. We're innately greater than even the most prestigious career. There is no job that brings dignity or status to anyone. We are the ones that bring dignity and status to the job. That's how it works. And if you don't like your work, get out of it. Get out of it. And the only way to do this is to grow out of it. This is the spiritually correct thing to do. We talk about in this teaching consciousness all the time. It's all consciousness. Yeah, you can walk into your office and pout and quit. That's a way to get out of it. You can do some things and make yourself get fired. That's another way out of it. But you know what? You have used consciousness in the wrong direction to get out of that job. There's a different way to use consciousness. The way to get out of it is to grow out of it. A spiritual law is at work. If you go in and just give 75% of your job just because you don't feel valued there, you don't like what your coworkers are doing, you don't like doing all of that, it's dull and boring, the universe responds back with you with 75%. That's what you're going to get back. But if you give 110%, the universe is going to push you out of that job. The universe will push you out of the job. The consciousness of power, that's what we need to walk into our jobs with. I have power in this job. Power is always something that you bring to a situation in order to make something greater out of it. Power is always something that you bring to a situation in order to make something greater out of it. We might have that backward. So what power are you bringing to work? And then it's the founder of this church, Dr. Kennedy Schultz, that reminded us time and time again, and I love this. A lot of you who have taken classes can know exactly what I'm saying. You always have this mantra, I am always self-employed. Remember that. I'm always self-employed. No matter what kind of work you do, no matter what company you walk through and underneath the name of the door and you walk through, no matter who signs your check that you're going to pick up on Friday, you are always self-employed. The best workers in any field know this. They sense it. They act like it. The person that must be satisfied with the quality of your work is you. Not your boss, not your mother, you. And let go of the false work attitudes that in order for work to be valuable, it must be hard. We always think work has got to be hard. Hard means stressful, tiring, frustrating, dragging home, beat to a pulp every night kind of hard. But these negative ideas continue a negative environment. So how do you turn that around? So instead of looking at work hard, we need to look at work easy, joyfully, intelligently, creatively. Ease, joy, and intelligence have great value within themselves. And if you bring that to work, watch out. Your work's going to change by you doing that. You would think that that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. It's not. Something happens tomorrow at sundown. What happens tomorrow at sundown? Who knows? Ramadan, thank you. Somebody back there knew what's happening. Ramadan, and it's the great celebration of another great holiday for the entire month. And it's a Muslim religious observance that takes place during the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, which is believed to be the month the Quran began to be revealed, especially during the third week. It's the Islamic month of fasting, in which Muslims don't eat nor drink from sunrise to sunset. So the devout Muslims get up before sunrise, and they eat, and they pray, and they break their fast with the fourth prayer of the day at sunset. Purity of thought and action are important during the month of Ramadan, and it ends 29 or 30 days later when finally the town member finally sights the first new moon of the next month is finally when Ramadan is over. So one thing I really wanted to speak with you this morning on was getting along with Muslims and the Islamic traditions, incorporating the art of getting along. But just when I uttered the word Muslim or Islam, there's a tightness that comes over this auditorium. Where does this tightness come from when we say those words? It's the same place where our bad work ideas come from, and that's consciousness. That's where it comes from. And our government has done a good job of instilling in us this idea that when these words are spoken, Muslim, Islam, that we must be on alert. We must go ahead, and there must be terror involved. But the truth of the matter is, it is our trained consciousness that reacts that way. If it's our trained consciousness that reacts that way, we can retrain it. We can retrain it. Just as the word has to retrain its consciousness from the word slave, our country had to do away with retrain our consciousness, or gay, or woman's sufferance. We had to retrain our consciousness. In all of these areas of consciousness, governments have come along and told us how to react. And as good members of the state, we reacted the way the state said we should react. That's what we've done. But then something happened. A greater consciousness revealed itself. The truth of us revealed itself. We don't have the word slave in our vocabulary anymore. There's no woman suffrage movement anymore. Why is this? Because consciousness changed. Did the government change the consciousness, or did the consciousness of the people change the way we reacted to that? We did. It was our consciousness that changed the reaction to those things. The consciousness of the race raised above the consciousness of the government. This is what's happening right now. The consciousness of us is being raised above the consciousness of the government. We're learning to look at things differently and not necessarily listen to all of that. So this is the art of getting along. It is an art of infinite mind always prevailing. When man across the ages has always tried to impose a difference amongst people, the universal consciousness came through saying, there is no difference. There is more of a sameness than there is a difference. So race consciousness changes. The fear subsides. The consciousness of the people today do not have the fears that they had 80 years ago. We have different fears than our grandparents had. Our grandparents had different fears than us. Consciousness has changed that, not government. And it's still changing. It's changing with the words Muslim and Islam, even this morning as I'm giving you this talk. We see that the universe is always, always saying for us to all get along. And it's an art in allowing. Allowing what it is that we have in common far exceeds what our differences are. And so the fear subsides just from the utterances of the words when there's a change of consciousness. I've shared with you before that I grew up in Miami, and I actually grew up in Miami when they had the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I remember as a little kid, my parents saying, the commies are coming, and I had to run and get under the bed. So it was a thing of instilling fear on here. Miami's just 90 miles from Havana and all of that place from Cuba. And so they knew the missiles were coming. So the word commies invoked in me a sense of not getting along. I was learning this from my parents. But you learn that the nature of the universe is one of harmony when you come to a center like this. And when you continually come back to that center point of your being, you start to sense the harmony of the universe around you. You look for the harmony instead of the fear. Whenever you sense a tightness in your life, look for the harmony instead of the fear. So it's on this day I ask you to sense a feeling of harmony when the word Ramadan or Muslim or Islam is spoken over the next 4 weeks. And allow your mind to have whatever reaction it's going to have, but to catch your thinking and know the truth. I'm asking you to practice this art of getting along. I'm asking you to have the art of getting along with a religion that is celebrated right here in this town, but it's being celebrated more on other continents of this world, which seems like a world away. I'm asking you to express the art of getting along with those folks on the other side of the world. You might think I was. But where I'm really headed is you, sitting in that chair this morning, me standing up here, the art of getting along right here in your very own personal life. How do I dare stand up here and ask you to get along with somebody on the other side of the world when you're not even getting along with yourself, sitting there in that chair? We get along okay right here in this auditorium. There's an art of getting along here. We all know that a truth is going to be spoken, something's going to resonate within us, but I want you to go to your mind. There's an art of getting along with yourself right here, right in mind. I ask you this morning, do you express the art of getting along with yourself? Now, many of us right off the bat will raise our hands. We're religious scientists. Yeah, I've been to this teaching long enough. I get along with myself. I understand this teaching. That's all up here. I'm asking you to take it down here just a little bit more to your heart. Are there challenges right there in your own mind, right there in your own consciousness that you have going on? Do you get along with the part of you that says you are not worthy? Do you get along with the part of you that says you're a victim? You're a victim because of your skin color. You're a victim from society because of who you sleep with. Do you get along with the part of you that does not believe in you? The part that always says the work you do is not good enough? Do you argue for your negatives when it comes to your salaries? You are worth more than that, but when you argue for your negatives, you get your negatives. Your argument is won. It is a fact about you, but it's not the truth of you. The truth of you is something greater. You are so much more, and the art of getting along is recognizing that worth. The art of getting along is recognizing this universal aspect of you. That's what I want you to go to. The part of you that's not touched by your job, the part of you that's not touched by your spouse, the part of you that's not touched by your parents' opinion of you, that's not touched by your children's opinion of you. It's not touched by disease. It's not touched by the economy. It's not touched by your government. It's not touched by religions. That is the part of you that I want you to master the art of getting along with. The universal consciousness within, the Christ consciousness within, the I am that I am. That's what I want you to get along with. And when you start getting along with that, your world is going to change. The whole world will change. Ramadan's going to be a celebration because you will sense the I am of you within the I am of everyone else in the world and the I am of every situation in the world. I myself, I have faith in the world because I have faith in this infinite mind, and that leaves faith into myself is what I have. There's a quote from the author of The Little Prince. He's French, so I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. But I'll read you the quote. If you want to build a boat or a ship, don't herd people together to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. If you want to build a boat or a ship, don't herd people together to collect wood, don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. I long for the endless immensity of living a life knowing the I am that I am. The more I catch myself not getting along with me, I understand that I am stepping away from that immensity. The more I catch myself not getting along with others, I understand that I am stepping away from that immensity. The more I catch myself feeling fear because the commies are coming or the government says I should be fearful, I understand that I am stepping away from that immensity. There's a suffering going on global wide because people are stepping knowingly and unknowingly away from the immensity because their government tells them so, because we tell ourselves. But it is here, in this auditorium, over at our offices on Buford Highway, where every Sunday or during midweek, you have teachers that are not telling you what to do. We are not asking you to recite a creed. We are teaching you to long for the immensity of the sea. We are teaching you for the longing of this understanding of your spiritual self. We are teaching you to recognize the I am that you are. We are explaining to you the art of getting along. Now, we've created this world, and whether we're getting along or not, we created it. And we can create a world where we do all get along. See yourself in this immensity. Stop looking in the world to see it because it's not there. It's something greater. It's not in other people's eyes. It's not in other people's evaluations of us. It's not in our own opinions of ourselves sometimes. We are not seeing the real self if we are not looking in the immensity. We're looking over in the world of effect. I'm asking you to look into cause. That's why we talk about this law of cause and effect all the time. We need to be looking at our lives through the I am glasses that each one of us has. And yet we take them off and forget where we put them. Put them back on and see the I am that each one of us is. There's a great spiritual teacher in this country, Matthew Fox, and he said this: this universe is big enough to absorb our betrayals. It's big enough to absorb our pain. The universal aspect of ourselves is big enough to absorb our nonsense. But it's always turning back to that immensity. When you turn back to the immensity, all of that nonsense is absorbed. We've all stepped away from this immensity. We've all been addicted to something. We've all had some integrity issues with relationships we've had. We've all had pain and sorrow, but the universe is big enough to absorb all of this, no matter what it is. And I guarantee you, somebody's going to come out of the auditorium after I speak and say, but you don't know my situation. That one, too, is absorbed. And when we dive into that immense sea of spiritual truth, the pain dissolves into the nothingness when you finally let go of the fact and come to the truth. The lesser idea can never live in the presence of the spiritual truth. The art of not getting along cannot live in the presence of the I am that you are and I am. Keep your mind focused on the immensity of the sea. Remind yourself of the bigger picture of your true self. There's a great minister out in Calgary named Carol Karn. She's absolutely wonderful. And I heard her give a definition of religious science this past year. And she says this: religious science is not a passive faith. It's an active relationship with the higher vibration of universal consciousness, with the immediacy of spirit. Religious science is not a passive faith. It's an active relationship with the higher vibration of universal consciousness, with the immediacy of spirit. The immediacy of spirit. It's available to us right now. We're always dealing with this immensity, this immediacy, this universal truth. We need to move into this spiritual realm. It's common to all of us, Muslims and all. We must personalize what this is. Whether you call it one power or God or infinite mind, we must do something with this spiritual immediacy. It's right here in this room, but until you take it and do something with it, it's not going to act. The immediacy of spirit is available to you right now. We've got to do something with it. It is abundance. It's prosperity. It's joy. It's peace. It's harmony or getting along, and we are meant to do something with it. But if we're too busy comparing our differences, we cannot be comparing our immensities. Why don't you compare your immensity and see how great you are? The truth of all of us, Muslim and all, is health, wealth, love, joy, peace, intelligence. Your present reality has nothing to do with the experience you are having now. Your present reality has only to do with being. Being is enough. Being is recognizing the I am that each one of us is. With the awareness of this I am, your present reality is always a chance to know the wholeness of it all. So when we come together here, we offer the chance to experience our true present reality, the I am that's in each one of us. You would think I was just here to give you a Labor Day talk. You would think I would just stay in the world of effect of a holiday weekend. You would think I would be here to give you a religious science talk on work, but no. I want to show you the immense sea, and I want you to long for it, because it's wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. Great, let's come together and understand what it is that we've just heard. There is an immensity present among us. It's a universal power, universal mind, infinite mind, whatever it is that you call it. God, Christ consciousness. It doesn't matter what is the name that you get it. It's just an understanding that it's present, and it's present right here and right now. And its presence is in each one of us, acting through us, pulsing through our veins, running through our mind this very minute. The immediacy of spirit is available to each one of us here. We've all come here this morning for this celebration, and we choose to walk out of here celebrating life. I challenge you to change your consciousness, to change your consciousness in line with the I am that you already are. Not another class, not another doctor's appointment, not another meeting with the bankers, what it is that you are right now. And the immediacy of spirit is ready to act when you point your mind in the direction of the truth of you. Let go of the facts of you and come back to the truth. Come back to this infinite sea, this mind, this presence that's available to every single one of us. Come back to center and recognize that. If there's tightness going on in your life, right here and right now, it's because we're not pointing back to the I am that each one of us is. And so we let this tightness of life fall away and come back to the I am of me. And when we come back to the I am and focus our minds to come back there, something starts to change. Not in the outside world, but in our minds, in our consciousness. Ideas come to us. Wisdom from the farthest reaches of the universe starts pouring through us, telling us the next step we need to take, what it is that we need to do, where we need to move in the direction of our dreams. And so we recognize this presence. We recognize the immediacy of spirit available to us this very moment, right here, right now. We give great thanks for this understanding, and we walk out of these doors with a refreshed idea about, yes, what this thing called work is. We bring our power to it. That's what we've learned today. But more importantly, we've come back to center, the truth of our being, the I am that each one of us is. With that, we are empowered. We move into our lives with this understanding, and so it is.